things like DHCP. I also installed Diskkeeper on here. If you don't know what Diskkeeper is, it's probably one of the best fragmentation tools. It's made by a company called ExecSoft. Definitely, if you do not have it, go get it. If you've got Windows 2000, even though part of Diskkeeper is built into it, you should still buy it just so you have the full scheduling capabilities as well. Going through here, you ever get those annoying, your UPS is bringing down the whole system at once? That's Messenger. If you don't want to annoy your whole network, you can turn that on or off. By default, it's left on. You've got plug and play turned on as well automatically, just basically the same idea as Windows 95 or 98 plug and play. NT doesn't quite have it down, but it's getting there. 2000's a lot better in that department. And to give you an idea, UPS software as well, if you're running like an APC, you've got probably the PowerShoot software. This actually activates that software and allows the machine to interact with it. And all those services can be controlled here. Also in your control panel, you've got devices. Same basic idea as services, but instead of software, this allows you to physically turn on and off hardware. Things you should not do, do not turn off your disk. I learned this the hard way. Amazingly enough, the inaccessible boot device error is not the most fun thing you want to do when you're trying to get a server back live. And there's no easy way to fix that. But the same idea, you can actually set in here. You can choose the startup if you want it to start with the boot or with the system. Automatic, manual, or disabled works just the same way the services do. Now, by default, NT has the administrative tools. These are all administrative tools administrators can run, allow you to change your environment, add users, check what is happening with your system, what's not. You've got your administrative wizards, which basically this is the extra GUI on top of your GUI. I've never used these. I probably never will. It's an easy way to click through and add users, change properties and whatnot. Also, there's NT Backup. Anybody who ever does backups in this world knows that NT Backup is not the one of choice. Most people run Seagate software or OmniBack. But yeah, do not use NT Backup unless you need to. Archiving it, it's horrible, and it's definitely not a good choice. Diskkeeper, however, very entertaining. Diskkeeper by default lays out for you what your hard disks and CD-ROMs are, how much space you have. From here you can actually partition, change partitions. If I was running two disks, you click up here. There's actually fault tolerance built in, software fault tolerance. You can create RAID 1 basic mirroring. You can also create stripe sets, which under NT4 doesn't work that well. Under 2000 works a lot better. Lots of neat tools you can do in here. Like I said, you can add, change, delete your partitions. Lots and lots of options. Let's see. The event viewer. A lot of times you'll get this one or more services did not start thing when you boot. Can't figure out why. You didn't change anything, didn't remove any drivers, nothing like that. You still get it. You go into here, it tells you exactly what happens. The little eyes just are informational. Nothing crashed. It just tells you this is what happened. This started, this stopped, this changed. The ones that are red, the actual stops, give you things like the keyboard reset failed. Perfectly useless errors, but at least tell you where you're looking at. And the big yellow ones are information, but basically information you need to note for the future. Things like the browser has received a server announcement indicating that the computer, et cetera, et cetera. It just tells you things that are good to know, nothing you need to react on. The only ones you really need to react on are the big red stops. Outside of there, you have the NT License Manager. Anybody who's familiar with Citrix, for instance, will tell you that licensing under NT can be really complicated. It's not as simple as, I'm one client, I need one license. If you work with SQL, you need a separate license for each SQL station. You need a separate license for each Exchange station, each user. Microsoft bundles them in 10 or 25, or I believe it's 100. But you definitely need licensing. If you go into the License Manager, it actually tells you where all of your licenses are, what type they are, how many seats you have. Just an easy software way to keep track of all your licensing. Performance Monitor is probably one of the neater tools in NT. Let's say, for instance, you're getting a huge memory spike. You can't figure out why. You don't know why you're having a memory spike. You just know you're having one. You can go in. You can add to chart. And you can choose processor or memory or any one of other dozens of options. And you can choose a counter, and it'll actually go through and count your system resources and tell you at any given time what you're actually using. See, there's only two more I tend to use quite often. It's Server Manager. This, if you've got a large network, particularly a large NT network, you can go from here and determine which of your servers is your primary and backup domain controllers, as well as determine who's connected to your computer. One of the great things about Windows 95 was when you go to shut down, if somebody's connected to your computer, it says to you, you know, you have a user connected, you have two users connected. NT doesn't do that. But you can go into here, and it actually tells you how many sessions are open, how many files are open, how many files are locked. If you click on users, it'll give you a list of everyone who is logged in currently, basically whether they're a guest or not, what things they've logged into, in this case, the netlogon file, as well as the shares you have open. This is also good for analyzing if somebody's broken into your box and created a share you're not aware of, something you'd want to check into, as well as what files are in use. If I had a file in use from remote over the network, it would actually list for me, this file is opened by this person, this is the file in use. And replication, if you do a logon script, this is good if you've got a PDC with multiple BDCs, you fix your logon script in your PDC, it automatically will replicate to your BDCs through replication. And all you have to do is set up the replication directories, which can be set right here. And that's pretty much all there is to that. The last one is the user manager. This is the one that people tend to get in the most trouble with. They'll create users, and they don't know how to set permissions for them. They'll go in, they'll create a user. And they'll create a password. Typically what I'll do, before I even start creating users, I'll go in and I'll set permissions on passwords. Typically, you'll want at least a 5 to 7 character password. You can set them to where they have to be that. They have to change their passwords on a regular interval. Typically, 20 days, 30 days is about average. You can also set them to where they can't use the same password more than once or more than once every 3 or 5 times. You go on and add them to the groups. Obviously, administrators and domain admins, you'd only want to have for people who deserve those sort of privileges. Administrators can have total control over their local machine. Domain admins have total control over every machine in that network. So definitely don't want to give that permission away. Typically, all they need is domain users. That gives them access to anything in the domain that a standard user would be permitted to use. Other than that, most of the other permissions, if you're curious what they actually do, go under user rights, under policies, and it'll actually tell you here which permissions are granted to which users. And they've got a myriad of options. Everything from you can access this computer over the network through you can create page files, change user information. All of it's pretty relevant. All of it can be done here in user rights. If you click on the show advanced user rights, drop down the box again, you've got probably about 30 to 35 different options here. That's pretty much it for that. One thing I should bring up, too, is trusted networks. When you get into larger networks, let's say, for instance, Company A, you work for Company A, Company B buys your company. You have two totally different networks, two totally different domains. You'll need what they call a trusted network. You can actually set up trust to say that all of your users that have this permission will now be able to access all of my resources that use that permission and vice versa. You can actually set that up in the user administrator as well. Under trust relationships, and you can set that up in there. So user domain A and domain B would be able to trust each other. You have to set it up on both ends or it won't work. One will trust one, but not the other. So pretty much vice versa. Basic NT is very simple to use. One thing you do want to note is after every time you install a service, an NT service like DHCP, WINS, DNS, you must reinstall the service pack. If you don't, there's files missing, things aren't the correct levels, you definitely have to make sure you have the service pack installed. As far as installing services, very simple. You right-click on Network Neighborhood, go into Services, click Add. You have your standard options here. Just for practical use, I'm going to add just DHCP. And WINS. And DNS. And of course, you got to reboot. To give you some background on what I'm doing here, I'm actually setting up a primary domain controller. What you do when you create an NT network, you want to set up one primary domain controller, and you want to set up at least one backup domain controller. You never know when your primary domain controller might blow up on you. You have a drive go bad, memory go bad, something that causes corruption of data. You need to have a backup domain controller. If you don't, you're pretty much SOL on getting all your user information back and your permissions. So while we wait for this thing to reboot, what I would do is first, if you're setting up a brand new domain, set up your PDC, set up a couple of accounts, basic information, then set up your BDC immediately after. It's not a wise idea to put all your services on your PDC because your PDC works hard enough anyway. That's another reason to have a BDC, because that will actually take a lot of the load off from the PDC doing things like WINS and DHCP and DNS. Typically, when I'm setting up a network, you actually gauge it by how many users you're going to have. Anywhere between 0 and 25, probably one BDC and one PDC would be fine. Between like 26 and 50 or 26 and 75, you'll probably want two BDCs because then the users will actually authenticate off the BDCs. NT by default, I believe, authenticates off BDCs first if they're available. Windows 95 and 98 clients will authenticate off the PDC. And we wait and wait and wait for NT to boot. NT, you'll find, as much as it's considered a good business solution, it does have its faults. Obviously, being a Microsoft product, you wouldn't expect anything less. But nonetheless, it is pretty good. If you're doing things like low-end file sharing, minor databases, anything that doesn't take a whole lot of processing overhead, NT is actually a very easy solution to implement. Anybody who knows basic knowledge of how to click your start menu and can read through an MCSE book can pretty accurately use an NT server. There's no real command lines to learn. Setting it up is very simple. And we're logging in. And waiting. And waiting. When this comes back up here, I'll introduce you to a couple more tools that they put in the administrative tools. When you add services like WINS, DHCP, and DNS, they each get their own administrator. It's all GUI-based. There are command line versions built in, I believe, that you could add and change settings for them, but the GUI is right there. And as I said, make sure you reinstall your service pack after you do this. I'm not going to do it yet because it takes too long, but nonetheless, I'll show you here. DHCP, very, very simple under NT. You can set up a DHCP scope in a matter of a few minutes. I got to do. Create a scope. You start and end the address. We'll use a simple 192 network. From there, that's all you really got to do. That's your basic DHCP scope. DHCP, by default, has lots of options you can add. You can add WINS control from here, add DNS, add default routes. Make it so that the user never even knows what hit them. You can plug in a machine, set DHCP. Everything's configured for you. You can actually create those in your DHCP options, which I believe I got to reopen it for. Right there. From here, these are your options. You can add a router, for instance. All you have to do is just like when you're setting routes up in Linux or in anything else for that matter, you just set the IP address for the router. And the same thing goes for DNS servers. And also WINS. One thing you do have to note with WINS, WINS requires you to choose one of four node types. Essentially, it's a choice of broadcast or not. What I do is I choose 0x8. That's basically your safeguard. What it does is it first goes out and it looks for the net BIOS name. If it can find it, great. It connects up to it. It's very quick. If it can't, it looks it up by IP address, which pulls it backwards, or by MAC address. So essentially, that is the easiest and fastest way to do it. There's really no configuring to this at all. And there you go, DHCP. It's that simple. Yes?
Shouldn't you preserve the server address out of your DHCP
scope? Actually, I always set my server addresses as something really completely outrageous, like 250 through 254, just to keep them out of the way. I set .1. Essentially, what I do is I'm going into my Microsoft roots here. I actually use a Linux box as my gateway, so I'm used to setting up that way. I make that .1, and I NAT through it. And from there, I set it up to go through there. I know I use .1 for everything here, but I'm just giving you the example. And that's really all there is to set up there. For DNS, the same way. Very simple. Add new server. You name the server. Then I realized I forgot what I named my computer. There we go. Essentially what it'll do is when you set it up, the DNS service starts automatically in that services menu I was showing you. And from here, you really have nothing else to configure. Between DHCP and DNS started automatically, there are some things you can tweak. You can tweak your time to live. You can add records individually. But internally for a LAN, this is essentially all you're going to need. And then lastly is the WINS manager. WINS sets up its own server, basically because WINS will take the net BIOS name and convert it over to where the other computers on the network can easily track it and see it. It eliminates the needs for any host files. So essentially, it's a centralized managed host file that makes all Windows networks much more efficient. Once you let this run for a while, it starts giving you statistics. You can actually set them to update automatically. But to give you some detailed information here, it shows you how many times that the WINS name was renewed by group registration and also unique registration. And that's essentially all there is to basic NT administration. There's not much to it. As far as NT security holes, it goes along the same idea as Unix. Make sure you're not running any services you don't need. A lot of problems are people will install every service by default. They install SNMP if they don't need it. Next thing you know, you've got people logging in through public and crashing your SNMP service. You got times people will put IIS on there for no reason. They don't even know what IIS does. They don't know if it hosts websites or, you know, if it cooks their dinner for them. So they put it on there and say, okay, well, we have options. Nonetheless, if you don't need it, don't install it. Same thing goes with Windows 2000. By default, the Telnet service in Windows 2000 is turned off, but a lot of people say, ooh, let's turn this on, and they wonder why their machines get broken into all the time. But nonetheless, also besides basic NT, some things you should have if you're going to be an NT administrator. You should definitely get yourself a copy of the NT resource kit. Comes with a few books and also all the software. Lots of neat tools. The AT scheduler that's built into NT has improved on a lot. It's got a GUI version of it that actually works sometimes, usually quite a bit. And quite a few other utilities, a lot of command line utilities, too. I believe there's about 150 of them added into the resource kit that NT should have had in the first place. Also, you should check out winutils.com as well as sysinternals.com. Those are two websites that give lots of freeware or shareware NT utilities, particularly things like Regmon and FileMon. Regmon, basically, you run it live, and it will go through and tell you what's changing in your registry at that given time. If you've got a program that won't open correctly, you've got something that seems like the permissions are a little strange on it, you open up Regmon, and it tells you which files are being opened, and you can check permissions. Same thing goes with FileMon. You can open up that while you're trying to open a file, and it'll tell you which files are being accessed. Other than that, that's really it. Any questions? Yes. Can't teach you how to hack, man. I don't know myself. Yes. Mandatory profiles. Good question. It's the part I never got to in my NT class. I do believe, however, yeah, it's under the net share. I believe. I believe if you set up mandatory profiles or roaming profiles, they actually stay inside your net log on share. Can't quote me on that one because I've never set them up. You can actually set them up under under policy and profile too. Let's see, I believe it's under system policy. I believe under system policy, you can actually set up policies for the machine or for each user. And then from there, you can set up various options, and I believe you can set it in there, but once again, I don't know for sure. All right, anything else? Well, anyway, thanks for being such a good audience. Just to let you know, for NT resources, there are quite a few of them on the net. I belong to a really neat NT list that's hosted at peach.ease.lsoft.com. If you go to lsoft.com, it'll give you a list of various mailing lists. Lots of great people on there that can help you with NT questions. Also, if you got some I haven't answered, if I can answer them, you're welcome to either email me or visit me during the con, and I'll see if I can help you some more. Thanks.